Abraham is a pretty important person in our scriptures, especially in the first book of our scriptures, Genesis. His story dominates several chapters, in part because he serves as the origin story for the people of Israel, or the Hebrew people. God called Abraham out of his land, the Ur of the Chaldeans, to go sojourn, to travel to a land that God would have for him. This would have gone counter to everything that you would have wanted to do in that time. You would not have wanted to leave your kin, your family, where you grew up, because that was your social safety net. And when you were asked to sojourn, to go into places unknown, you lose that social safety net, and you go into places that could be quite violent. But yet God promises that Abraham will be taken care of, and that he will become a father of many nations, and that there will be a land for him when he arrives. And Abraham trusts this, and so he sets out. In chapter 15 of Genesis, this very similar covenant is made with Abraham again, between Abraham and God, that Abraham will have a child. This seems like a bit of a stretch here, because Abraham is a really old guy, and his wife Sarai is also quite old. It seems as though Abram tries to make the covenant happen on his own. He has a child by the servant Hagar, named Ishmael. But that does not seem to be what God had in mind. For in chapter 17, the covenant is reiterated, but it is changed to include some important elements. First of all, Sarai is included in this covenant, when she was not included in the first, as if God has to make a point of clarification that my agreement is not just with you, Abraham, but also with your wife. And in this covenant, Abram and Sarai are renamed. Abram is named Abraham, and basically that means Abram, the meaning is something along the lines of well-known dad, wonderful dad, world's greatest dad, in the coffee cup, which my wife got me a coffee cup a few years ago for Father's Day that said world's okayest dad. Don't know how that translates into the Hebrew. But his name is changed to Abraham, which means the dad of many. Sarai, her name changed to Sarah, is a little bit more nuanced, because the root for both of these names has to do with this word princess. But the phrase, how those words are used, where they're used, is quite different. Sarai was used in a family setting. A princess as in someone like a matriarch of a family. Sarah is an official title, something that was used formally of someone who was in charge of a kingdom. So I think that, but outside of this kind of anecdote about words and stuff like that, I think it's important because it seems like throughout the Hebrew Bible, God only renames people when those relationships are tight. God is making an everlasting covenant, not just with this dude, Abraham, but is also now making this covenant with Sarah. But I think what's really catchy here in this reading is the promise that God makes not only to Abraham and Sarah, but to future generations. It says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. I think one of the great joys of this church is that we welcome little children into our midst. And in every sort of way, it seems that we have the ability to be flexible in this space and in spaces down in the parish hall and in our commitment to youth programming and to our Sunday school. And that not only is a great joy of this church, but it is really what we ought to be doing. And I'm thankful to be a part of that. In fact, I think about what we have as an opportunity before us, just in this baptism this morning. I think about Isla and the type of faith that she will grow up in. You know, this world is very different than the world that Danielle and David were born into. And likewise, and also there are folks in this congregation that have seen the world change over more times than one. So it's interesting to think about what the future has in store for Isla as she grows up in this world, but also grows up in a faith that is very different than the one that we all were born into. What kind of faith will she be able to explore? What kind of God will she encounter? You know, likely, in this information age, she will encounter God in a lot of different ways. And some ways are wonderful and life-giving, and others are not. But it falls on all of us to pass down that God that is life-giving and offers the promise for future generations. I think about Isla's name. It means island. And I've thought about that this week, that no person is an island ultimately, but that everyone exists in this community. And that's a wonderful place to be. There was an article out of Prince Edward Island this last week about this kindergarten in Souris Regional School that had this really interesting thing happen. They had gathered in the morning for circle time. And one girl leaned over to another and said, "Hey, your shirt's on backwards." And other kids noticed this, and some of them started to laugh. And this girl became red and embarrassed. And the teacher thought that this would be a good moment to talk about why it's not helpful to single out people, because that's not really affirming. It can be embarrassing. But as the teacher began her conversation with these kids, one girl put her arms in her shirt and turned it around and then stuck her arms back out. And then another kid did the same thing until nearly every kindergartner in this class had their shirt on backwards. That's empathy. Right? And I know that we can't fix everything in this world by turning our shirts around backwards, but we can fix a great deal, many of things in this world, by being empathetic. The teacher later said to the newspaper that she thought that she was there to teach these kids, when in fact it was these kids who taught her in that moment. I think that anyone who has spent time around children has probably had that experience more times than not. I think that the great thing about this telling of the covenant is that Abraham kind of has to get out of the way a bit. That in the previous telling, it seemed like it was all about him. It seemed like he was going to try to make that relationship happen no matter what. But here, God reminds Abraham that it's not all about him, that it's also about his wife, and it's about the children to come. And as we think about the children who are raised in our midst, maybe this is a good lesson for us, that we can make space for these children whose lively spiritualities are a part of our community now. And that makes us blessed, and not cursed. So my prayer for us this week, as many of these kids are on school break, is that we listen to our children that are around us, that we even ask them questions of their faith. So I would imagine that we would be surprised at the depth of their own faith and those things most important to them. Amen.